Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Ron Flatter. It's 5 days from the NBA trade deadline, and the Cleveland Cavaliers may not be standing still. The Boston Globe reports the Cavs GM David Griffin is shopping Kevin Love, and that he wants a lot in return. Maybe too much for a trade to happen, but the New York Daily News reports the Cavs have been launching trial balloons with Boston and New York. A proposal to send Love to Boston, Carmelo Anthony to Cleveland, and Timofey Mozgov and draft picks to New York. And now another New York tabloid, The Post, is reporting that there is nothing doing, according to sources, between the Cavaliers and Anthony. As for the BMOC, big man on the Cavs, LeBron James, talking a lot in Toronto about the retiring Kobe Bryant and his last All-Star game tomorrow, saying it will be a big deal not only for Bryant, but the entire league. LeBron and Kobe will be among the starters tomorrow night at the Air Canada Center. But because of a minor leg injury, Miami's Chris Bosh is out of tomorrow's game, replaced by fellow big man Al Horford of Atlanta. Zach LaVine also talking about his favorite Kobe story, saying he goes back to the time that Kobe won the slam dunk contest. LaVine was just a little tot back then. He's 20 years old now. He is the defending winner of the slam dunk contest, and he was the MVP last night in the NBA's Rising Stars game for rookies and second-year players, scoring 30 points in America's 157-154 win over the rest of the world. College basketball last night, one top 25 team did lose. That was number 23 Southern California, but it was an one-point underdog traveling to Tempe. Arizona State beat the Trojans 74-67. Number 17 Arizona defeated UCLA 81-75, and number 19 Dayton was a 68-66 winner at Rhode Island. New York Mets reliever Henry Mejia says he didn't do anything wrong and didn't take anything illegal, yet he is the first player to get a lifetime ban under Major League Baseball's revamped drug rules, testing positive for a performance enhancer now for a third time as he was in the middle of a one-year ban for his second infraction. But as is the case with Pete Rose, Mejia can apply to Commissioner Rob Manfred for reinstatement, but not any earlier than this time next year. Milwaukee traded slugger Chris Davis to Oakland for a couple minor leaguers. The Yankees and newly acquired flamethrower Aroldis Chapman avoid arbitration on a one-year $11.3 million deal. Football, Chicago has farewelled running back Matt Forte. He says on social media that the Bears are not offering him a new contract for a ninth season. I'm Ron Flatter.
Forget who's going to win tonight.
Who's going to cover tonight?
We will cover it on the Doug Gottlieb Show, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, CBS Sports Radio.
Where are the big fish? Where are the big bucks? The big gobblers, the quail, and whatever game life that's in season? Let's find out from the guys who know. Steve Long and Rob Newman on Cast and Blast on Sports Radio 740 and SportsRadio740.com.
Everybody get up.
Back. Thank you for listening to Cast and Blast Outdoors here on Sports Radio 740. We have a phone line open for you. Please give us a call at 240-9230.
Rob, it's a little chilly outside this morning, 37 degrees. We're going to have a high of around 50 today. I know you said 48. My phone says 50, so I'm going with my phone.
Hey, go ahead and go with it. It's going to be cold. You're going to need your wrap, Steve.
You think? Yeah, oh, absolutely. But it's going to be a sunny day. It's a beautiful bluebird sky out there. Nice, gorgeous day. We're coming to you live from Capital Pawn Shop here on the Troy Highway. Y'all come on by. Valentine's weekend, if you want to get mama, you want to get your sweetie, you want to get your honey something
your
for
daughter.
Valentine's, that's right. Come on in. They got everything you need. You know what my wife likes?
Tell me, Steve.
Pistols.
Well, hey, you've got quite a selection over there, Steve. Why don't you go pick one
sure
out?
Sure do. She likes shooting pistols. She likes her firearm. It's sort of scary, Rob.
Well, I hope she's a good shot.
I know. I better be nice.
So she won't waste bullets.
I better be nice. Rob, you know, last week you had an article in the paper. They credited me with
and
that
And I
article.
Made you look real good. I'm glad you brought that up. I missed a day of hunting on that, and I'm still hot.
Well, there's no sense in being hot about that, Rob.
Why?
The paper made a mistake, and they apologized to you.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. And also we put it on Facebook that it was your article. But there's a little legislation going on right now about hunting over bait. And it's still got
Senate Bill 62.
That's exactly right. And there's also one in the House. I think it's 43, House Bill 43, a companion bill. But it did come out of committee. It approved out of committee. And I think they tried to bring it up for a vote this last Tuesday, and it did not go through. But that doesn't mean it's dead. So there's still some life to that bill, hunting over bait for deer and wild hogs or pigs, whatever you want to call them, swine. What do you think of that, Rob?
Well, Steve, I'm not quite so sure how I really feel on that. You know, I know the people that, because I don't do a lot of baiting, a lot of supplemental feeding. I really don't. But the people that do, at 101 yards out of line of sight, why are we doing it at 100 yards out of line of sight? What's the difference in sitting 30 yards away?
And you know what? I somewhat agree with you as far as we're not doing it properly. We're not doing it the way we should be doing it. And I know, guys, we keep changing everything up and everybody's trying to make it better, and then sometimes it doesn't work out that way, or at least in my opinion, and everybody has different opinions. What's the difference between being over it and at 100 yards? Well, the ethical part of it. Now, Mississippi, they changed theirs up this year. Theirs was 100 yards and out of sight. They've gone to just 100 yards. It can be in sight, but it's 100 yards. In Georgia, there's a lot of areas over there. They had it split for a while. When they first came out with it, they had a split in the state to where the north half couldn't do the bait or the supplemental feeding and the south could. I've heard a lot of complaints from folks in Georgia. People I know that hunt in Georgia said it really has hurt their deer hunting, that the deer become more nocturnal. I don't have a problem with supplemental feeding of deer as far as you're doing it the right way. Off the ground, I do like high protein instead of corn. Don't mind a little corn mixture every once in a while. But, I mean, really, what have you done if you've shot a deer over bait? My younger years, yeah, I was a hardcore, foolish hunter. And I think most of us can say that. Anybody that's hunted for a long time and says they haven't done it, I'm a little skeptical of that.
Okay, well, you know, I understand your point. But the people that are doing it and having luck and killing deer, they love it. You know, and everybody's not abiding by the law.
No.
Don't you think they
no.
are? I mean, they're not at 101 yards out of the line of sight. They're sitting on top of it. And whether it's whole corn, cracked corn, rice bran, you know,
molasses
lead,
block,
tub, anything, you know, what do? Yeah, you know, Steve, it just still goes back to the fact that if they want to do it, you know, I really don't care. If it's legal, I doubt I'd do it. I'm not doing it now.
Well, I hunted a place. I've been hunting a place for the last 3 or 4 years in South Montgomery. I've been hunting a club in Bullock County, 3,600 acres, to where when season's over, we put out supplemental feed. And we do high protein, and we do it in trough feeders. It's not on the ground. But, buddy, it is cleaned up way before turkey season. And then we'll feed them again after turkey season. But during season, it is a club rule, and it's Robbie Shiver. During season, it is a club rule, there will be no baiting. There will be no corn.
Right.
And that's really the way it should be. I mean, let's talk about the ethical part of it, Rob. I mean, hunting is hunting. It's not killing. The killing is sometimes can be the end result. A lot of times, it's just like turkey hunting. When I've hunted a turkey a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, even 2 weeks, you've got that one turkey that gobbles on the limb. You go over this side, he goes that way, vice versa. You've made it a challenge to harvest that turkey, to kill that turkey. And after I kill that turkey, I swear I get sad.
Sure.
Because I think about it.
Yeah.
And deer hunting, it's not a number game, y'all. It's not a numbers game. It's hunting. It's not killing.
I think the confusing part on SB62 is the fact that they're going to allow you to put corn out, sit right on it, but you know, for the feral hogs, the deer. What about when it comes to turkeys? And how do you know how a turkey reacts to corn?
Yeah,
he's going to come straight to it.
Rob, they're not going to let us do this during turkey season. This is just for deer and hogs.
And the bill
specifies that. You're exactly right.
But my point is for deer and hogs, but people are going to be feeding the deer and hogs. They're going to be feeding them during turkey season. And where do you think the turkey hunters are going to line up? They're going to be right there where they are.
Where they've created habits. You know, baiting has the potential to accelerate transmission of diseases such as chronic wasting disease, bovine tuberculosis, should they be discovered in Alabama. I mean, disease could be a problem with this. They've done these surveys and they find out that movement patterns change when you start baiting on a regular basis. These deer start becoming nocturnal. You know, you talk about turkeys. If you start feeding turkeys, the thing about turkeys, they roost at night. Deer don't roost at night.
That's right.
So they're going to take their opportunity. You and I know the number one reason people don't kill deer. I think we know that. I don't think our deer population's hurting. I think we got plenty of deer. But I tell you what, it's pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure on a place affects it. And back to my argument or my comment about the places I hunt. This one place I hunt in South Montgomery County, we didn't have a stitch of feed on it all year long. Now, it got burned. It was managed by Ted DeVos, Bakken DeVos. And every time I went out there, I saw a ton of deer. I saw two shooters. Now, I probably hunted, what do you think, Rob, maybe 10 times during deer season?
Mm-hmm.
You hunt a lot more than I do, deer. You put a lot more hours into it than I do.
How many deer did y'all kill on that place?
We ended up killing two does.
Two does.
Yeah. But my point being, I saw two bucks that might be considered shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't shoot them. And probably should have. One of them I definitely should have shot because he was a mature buck. His body showed that he was mature. His rack wasn't that great, but it had some mass. It was only 6 points. Probably should have shot that deer, but I didn't shoot him. That was my choice. But my point being, you know, natural browse, if you manage your property right, you don't have to have feed. There's enough out here that these deer can survive. This piece of property we hunted, Ted burned back in July. It was amazing. We've got like a little, right at a mile, maybe a mile and a quarter of power line. And on that power line, all that grass in there had come back green. And it was, it had the sage in there. It wasn't open. There was some privet down there in the bottoms and the ditch bottoms and creek bottoms because it was a hilly power line. But the deer, man, they just went out there and they browsed. They had a good time out there. And they felt they weren't really nervous. You could walk around there and see does all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know how a lot of times you go to a lot of places and if you bump a deer, man, they just haul. This wasn't that type of place. I mean, the deer would just sort of look at you for a minute. Not to say they wouldn't run, but if you stop movement, they would look at you, and a lot of times they'd just go back to feeding.
Hmm. Well, that place doesn't have a lot of pressure on it.
That's right.
You walk into some places, like across the road there, and you walk in. As soon as the deer see you, they are gone. They're going to snort and blow the whole way out of there. And, you know, if this baiting issue is going to create a situation where our deer, where it makes them more nocturnal than what they are now, we don't need it. I don't think there's any proof that it will do that. I think once people start putting out corn and sitting on it, you know, they're going to continually go back to that same spot, and that's the worst thing that you can do, to your property is just continually hunt the same spot. And those deer will go nocturnal. You won't see them like you used to see them. You'll wonder why. It's been a terrible year. Well, it's because, you know, you've overhunted the place. And if this creates people, if this SB62 makes people want to go out and pour corn out and just sit right on it, that's not hunting.
You know, Rob, when the first when the advisory board, by the way, there's an advisory board meeting next Saturday morning, 10 o'clock downtown. When the advisory board first approved 100 yards and out of sight, okay?
Yeah.
Do you think we made a mistake doing that?
Oh, you talking about like starting it at 100 yards out of line of sight, now trying to back it up where you can sit on top of it?
Yeah, do you think that opened up the doors for what we're about to get or what
maybe,
we might possibly?
Maybe
you
so.
You think we should have not done that now, looking in hindsight?
You know, I don't know, Steve. I know I've got some friends in Kentucky, and they can bait in Kentucky. They can sit right on it. And
it's a hot state. It's probably in.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.